Be'ezat Hashem, we'll be learning tonight in Hilchot Yom HaKippurim, Siman Tafresh Vav. That's Siman 606, Tafresh Vav. We'll start first in the middle, in the words of the two. The halachot in this Siman is about the halacha of asking for forgiveness from each other, asking mechila from each other. And I always like to try to find a hint in the name of the siman to the halakha. And this one, Baruch Hashem, is not so hard. Siman Tafresh Vav, if you rearrange the letters, it's Vater. Vater means be mevater, give in, forgive, be forgiving. So it's good to do that so you can remember. If someone asks you, where is the halachot of asking for forgiveness on Erev Yom Kippur? Oh, Vater, Tafresh Vav. So it helps. It's good. It's good. And by the way, some of them are like prophetic, the way the two and the Shulchan Aruch, it comes out amazing sometimes. So let's learn the halachot here. Aleph. Ve'iten kol adam el libo be'erev yom ha-kippurim. Look how he brings the halacha. He says it like this. Ve'iten kol adam el libo. Every person should put into his heart be'erev yom ha-kippurim lefayes lechol mi shepasha kenegdo. To appease, the word appease in English comes from the word lefayes in Hebrew. Lefayes lekol mi shepasha kenegdo. To appease and to ask forgiveness from everyone whom he wronged. If we were to write the halacha, we would write be'erev yom kippurim yefayes lekol mi shepasha libo. How the Tur thought to insert those words, Ve'iten kol adam elibo. A person should put into his heart to go and to appease his friend. So in other words, we're not just robots. Oh, what is it today? Ah, it's Erev Kippur. Okay, I got to ask Mechila. I'm sorry, could you be mochel me? And sometimes it's very done like that in a robotic way. Which at least is better than nothing. But, you know, it's like a formula that you go through on Erev Kippur. That's not how the Tur introduces the halacha. Ve'iten adam elibo. In other words, before you go to your friend to ask mechila, prepare your heart and put it into your heart. I have to ask him for forgiveness. How could I have done that? That's a whole different asking for mechila. Ve'iten adam elibo. And another he'ara on the words of the Tur, you might not have noticed this, but he writes, Lefayes lechol mi shepasha kenegdo. To be mefayes, anyone who wronged him. Now, you could explain it in two ways. He wrote the words in a way that's open for a dual explanation. What he does mean, kipshuto, is to go and to ask forgiveness from the person who you wronged. And that's apparent from the continuation of the words. But he did leave it in a way that also translates to Lefayes lechol mi shepasha kenegdo.
That's what happened.
But that's how I read it in the beginning. But when you continue, you see that he's really focusing more on us asking for forgiveness. But yiten adam elibo also to be forgiving, to forgive anyone who comes, you know, who did something wrong to you. So I think it's bekavanat techila that he wrote it in such a way to give those two meanings. And the reason being, because all the sins that are between us and Hashem, we all know Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper, atones for. But the mitzvot that are between us and our fellow men, Yom HaKippurim does not have the power to be Mechaper until you ask forgiveness from him. Imagine, you come to Hashem on Yom Kippur. Hashem, forgive me that I hurt so-and-so. Hashem says, listen, I'm more than willing to forgive you, but did you do what's first? Did you first take care of business with him? I'm sorry, I'm the wrong address right now. After one asks for forgiveness from his friend, yes, then you have to ask forgiveness from Hashem, because after all, you wronged a person who is beloved by Hashem. So yeah, it is all. Every bin adam lechavero is also a bin adam lemakom. But firstly, you have to ask forgiveness from the one who you actually saw and wronged. Vafilu lo iknito ela bidvarim tzarich lefayso. The Tur finds it necessary to emphasize that even if all you did was hiknito bidvarim, you hurt him only with words, which means you didn't harm him physically, you didn't harm him financially, you only said words. And people many times tend to think that, well, it was only words. You know, it's, what did I say already? So forget it, it's bidil vayavo. No, afilu lo hiknito ela bidvarim, even if it was only with words, tzarich lefayeso. We're learning siman tafresh vav, which can be scrambled into vav tafresh, which is vater. Levater means to forgive, and these are the halachot of levater.
What's
hiknito
mean?
Lehaknit in Hebrew means to hurt with words. You know, in Yiddish they have a word to chepper, to hurt with words, to insult.
To hurt with words?
Yeah.
Oh, to insult.
Lehaknit means to insult. To hurt, to pinch his heart with a word. The exact word is a little bit hard to translate. Lehaknito bidvar. Tzarich lefayso. Verbal abuse. Yes, yes. As minute as it may seem. Ve'tzarich lelechlo. Here's another thing that the Torah is saying. You have to go to him. Don't say, well, if he's that hurt, he would come and, you know, tell me that I should ask him forgiveness. No. You have to go out of your way to go to the person down the block, to drive over a few blocks, or to the city, or wherever he is. Huh? Tzarich lelechlo. You ask him, can you text? That's a she'elah in the halacha. That's a question. Is it enough to just send a text, I'm sorry? From the words of the two, we see that the best is to physically go and ask forgiveness. You know, because the effort that is shown in the asking of forgiveness goes a long way in achieving a truthful selicha, mechila, and kapara from the person. Ve'im eno mitpayes barishona, if he's not appeased the first time, yachzor ve'yelech lo pam shenit u'shlishit, you go the second time, and you go a third time. And not only you go, u'bechol pam yikach imo shlosha, and each time you should take three people with you, sheyefayesenu, to appease him, sheyimcholo, to forgive you. Ve'im eno mitpayes b'shalosh pe'amim, but if three times, take going to him three times, with three people each time, didn't do the job, ve'im eno mitpayes b'shalosh pe'amim, eno tzarich lefayeso od. The halacha already now specifies, you don't have to, eno tzarich, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to. The Bach has a whole arichut over here explaining that if a person wants to continue humbling himself and asking again, okay, that's fine. It's machloket. Pri Chadash says no. Pri Chadash says he shouldn't. After three times, that's it. Interesting.
The other guys are Russian.
What? It's maybe that's a svara to understand the Pri Chadash. Maybe because he now... Okay. He said maybe because now he becomes a Rasha. So now maybe there's no inyan to ask forgiveness from a Rasha. We'll leave that open. The Bach, however, says that no, eno tzarich means you don't have to, but if you want, you could, as long as there's no bizayon of the Torah involved. That's what he writes, the Bach. So that's as far as between two regular people is concerned. And that's what he's
what's
going to say.
Bizayon,
there's no belittling of the Torah, which means if, let's say, him going again and again and again, and each time he says no, and let's say the person is a man of Torah or something like that, so it's like a belittlement of the Torah, then stop at three times.
Maybe because it makes the sin of that person too grave.
That could be also a svara, right? If you go more than three times, maybe all you're doing is damaging him more. That's a good point also. Very nice, very nice. I always like to hear the svarot of everyone, you know, joining in. I usually like to go home and write them in their name. Yeah, I have a collection of those. Vehani mili lechavero, says the two, and however, this is only when you're asking from your friend. Aval lerabo, but let's say you're asking forgiveness from your rav. Tzarich leharbot alav, how do you read the next word? Not ra'im, re'im. Very good. Ad she'itpayes. You have to increase friends, re'im, re'im ahuvim, right? Friends, ad she'itpayes, until he's appeased. the tool doesn't really say this, you know, as many words as the Rambam wrote here, which is also brought in the Halakha in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says, "Afilu elef pe'amim," even if it takes 1,000 times, when it's Rabbo, you have to ask. And we're going to see the source for this in the Gemara in Masechet Yoma.
Increasing friends, does he mean more than 3 people now?
Yeah, if it just bring like groups of people. Look, they're all asking you, please forgive me for what I did. Yes.
So I'm going to ask forgiveness from the Kohen, but with that last piece, I feel, you know, El Ka'amim defeat his reasoning that, oh no, we're going to end it over here, because otherwise he becomes, you know, it's not going to be good for him. But here we're going to the Rav so many times. We think if he's a Rav,
that's a good question. Apparently, it also seems this way from the Gemara, which is the source, as we'll see soon in the Bet Yosef. It's possible to say exactly the opposite, which means when it's Rabbo, we assume that the Rav has a cheshbon, a reason for it. Normally a Rav will forgive the first time. Normally, a Talmid Chacham is forgiving, right? If the Rav is saying no, even 3 times, even 4 times, that means that he has a certain reason, which, according to some mefarshim, is for the benefit of the person himself who is asking. And as we'll soon see. So in that case, it doesn't necessarily go against what he's saying. Therefore, the halakha by the Rav is totally different than by someone else. In fact, what we'll do here is we'll stop, even though, you know, we reached halakha bet. We'll stop here, go back, let's learn the Bet Yosef on this halakha. It's the inner column, the right-hand column. Ve'iten kol adam elibo. Don't forget these beautiful words from the Torah. He didn't just say, an erev yom ha-kippurim, be mefayes your friend. No. Yiten kol adam elibo. A person should put into his heart, be'erev yom ha-kippurim, lefayes lechol mi shepasha kenegdo, to ask forgiveness or to forgive anyone who you wronged. Ken katav ha-rosh be'masechet yoma. This comes from the Rosh in Masechet Yoma, the father of the Torah. And the proof is from the Gemara towards the end, the second to last page in Masechet Yoma, the Peizayin Amud Bet. The Rav azal lefeyuse leRabbi Chanina b'Maale Yoma de Kippure. Rav, the great Rav, the first generation Amora, Rav and Shmuel, right? He went on Maale Yoma de Kippure. That's Erev Yom Kippurim. He went to be mefayes Rabbi Chanina bar Chama. The Gemara tells us a story. The story there goes like this. That something to this effect. That Rav was giving the shiur. He was giving a shiur. When he was still in Eretz Yisrael. So he was young. Rav, in his middle age, left Eretz Yisrael and went to Bavel. Specifically to the city of Sura in Bavel. Where he opened up a big yeshiva. And there he was, the Rav of Sura, and in Nehar De'ah, the neighboring city, you had Shmuel. So you had Rav and Shmuel, and that was in the glory days of Bavel. But beforehand, Rav came from Eretz Yisrael. He was a nephew of Rabbi Chiya, who was a nephew of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, in Eretz Yisrael. But already in Eretz Yisrael, Rav was great, obviously, and he was giving shiurim. One time he was giving a shiur on a certain parasha, and if I remember correctly, Rabbeinu HaKadosh came to sit at the shiur of Rav, of his great nephew. And Rav immediately started the shiur again. Lechvod Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who maybe came a few minutes late, he started from the beginning for his honor. And then the Gemara continues and says, another big Rav came a little bit late. He started again the whole shiur in honor of that Rav from the beginning of the parasha. But then the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina came into the shiur, and it was already like the fourth time, after 4 times of Rav starting the shiur again. So the Gemara says that he said, I think it means he said to himself, how many times am I going to start from the beginning? So he didn't repeat from the beginning. And it says there that Rabbi Chanina was slighted. He was insulted by that. And Rav went to him on Erev Kippur to ask him for forgiveness for this. This story is to be continued in a few minutes. I want you to hear it in the context of the next part. So I'm going to stop here in the middle of the story. Okay? So he asks him forgiveness. So that part of the story is the source of the halakha that on Erev Yom HaKippurim, one has to go to be mefayez, his friend, you know, or whoever he needs to be mefayez.
You can't start before Erev Yom HaKippurim.
You could start, but at least that's also something that is brought in the halakha. It doesn't mean that, you know, you have to wait till Erev Yom HaKippurim, but Erev Yom HaKippurim is a day that for sure you have to make sure. The difference between Erev Kippur, right? The difference also between Erev Kippur and the regular, you know, days of the year is that if it happened right before Kippur, you have to ask Mechila by Erev Kippur. Whereas if, let's say, something happened on Yodea in Chodesh Tammuz or Sivan, you can wait till Erev Yom Kippur. You can wait. But if it's right before Kippur, you cannot wait. You cannot delay. Do it right before Kippur. Continues the Bet Yosef and he says, Ve'amrinan, we're in the fifth line, Ve'amrinan nami hatam, Rav, also we say there, Rav hava lemilta behadeha hutabacha. It says there that Rav had an issue with the butcher in town. It's a whole different story, a different time, I think it's even in Bavel, later on in his life. What does it mean he had an issue? The butcher did something not nice to Rav. Klomar, shehatabach chatalo. The tabach, the butcher, sinned to him. Natar le tresar yarchesh deshata. Rav waited 12 months of the year. I guess it happened right after, let's say, Kippur. He slighted Rav. And Rav, you know, he didn't like tell him, what is this? Or something like that. He gave him time. He'll come on his own. And 12 months passed. He didn't come. So what happened? Velo ata. He didn't come. Ki ata ma'ale yomad kippure, when Erev Kippur came, amar ezilana ve'apik midate. Rav said, let me go to him so that to make myself available for him to ask me for forgiveness. It's Erev Kippur. So the Bet Yosef is bringing this Gemara as another source that Erev Kippur is a day for asking mechila. Over here, the story is coming from the opposite angle, right? That he made him make sure to it Erev Kippur. The continuation of that story, by the way, not such a happy ending. It says there, the butcher saw Rav, and he said, are you Rav? Get out of here. I have nothing to say to you. And it says there, this was while he was chopping, you know, bones of meat. And what happened was, you know, a bone flew against him, and he died because of what he did to Rav. But Rav gave him time. He gave him 12 months. He wasn't in a hurry. But when did he make sure to come? On Erev Kippur.
It's a story. He didn't do it for his own honor. He did it to help him.
Right. He came. You know, he did. Rav is the chief rabbi. You come to him. What is this? He comes to you. And yet he came because Erev Kippur. But he didn't learn his lesson.
But Rabbi Mechila.
Yes.
I think this is all going on big situations. Small time stuff that happened in Tammuz. You could say sorry. He forgives you. Not that you have to wait till everyone. I'm just saying. I think maybe he's giving you Eitz HaTovah. Like if it's something heavy. And you kind of need that extra push.
And if it's something not heavy, I just want to understand you.
Then I wouldn't wait.
You wouldn't wait? Oh, okay.
You might forget. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. So if a person, you are absolutely right. If a person feels that it's something that seems to be insignificant, that he might forget about it, ask Mechila right away. The point here is, don't leave anything open when you're coming into Yom Kippur. That's the point. Nobody's saying you should not ask before, as we mentioned before. But once Erev Kippur comes, make sure you take care of business. Continuing in the Bet Yosef, Umash katav de averot sheben adam lamakom yom kippurim mechaper ad eno tzach lefayso od pashut misof maseret yoma. This comes straight out of the Gemara in Maseret Yoma that averot sheben adam lamakom are yom kippurim mechaper, but not averot sheben adam lachavero ad sheifayseinu.
The part that says that's what Rosh wrote, that include everything, including by Tenko, or is
just the first part. The first part of that on Erev Kippur, a person has to ask for Mechila.
That's not the language of Rosh by Tenko, Adam Adibo. That's also included.
It could be very similar. If you look up the Rosh, you'll see that it's similar. Not necessarily is it a direct quote, but the halakha is there. The source for the halakha is there. Uma shekatav vehani mili lechavero, ava lerabot tzarich leharbot alav re'im ad sheyitpayes. Now, this that he said, that's only by your friend, but by the Rav, then you have to do as much as it takes. Where do we get this from? Not so simple. כן כתבו שם הריף והראש, וכן כתב הרמב"ם. So you have the three big pillars of halakha all on this, saying that the din by the rav is different than the din by chavero. וכן כתב הרמב"ם בפרק ג' מהלכות תשובה. The question is now, where did the Rif and Rambam and Rosh get that from? Is it some kind of open Gemara? It's not. Guess what? Nir'eh shelamdu ken, on the left-hand column, ve'nir'eh shelamdu ken, the Bet Yosef says, it seems that they extracted it mide'amrina b'gemara, from that which we say in the Gemara. Now we continue the story that I told you to be continued. De'rav azile fiyuse le'rabbi Chanina, Rav went to be mefayes, to ask mechila from Rabbi Chanina. Tleisar ma'ale yomad kippure. Now, reserve the obvious question that you're going to ask yourself. Keep it at bay for a second. We'll get to it. But here's the story. Rav went to ask mechila from Rabbi Chanina for that which happened, I told you about the shiur. 13 Yom Kippurims.
Oh my gosh. He went 13 times?
13 times. Oh.
13
which means,
years.
13 years. Which means every time he came, Rabbi Chanina did not forgive him. So now, Uparich. Now, the Gemara immediately asks a question, not the obvious question that you're asking yourself right now, but the first the Gemara asks on Rav the question, Hechi Avid Hachi? Why did he do that? והאמר רבי יוסי בר רבי חנינה, רבי יוסי בר רבי חנינה said, כל המבקש מתו מחברו, anyone who's asking, מתו means מחילה, anyone who asks מחילה from his friend, אל יבקש ממנו יותר משלוש פעמים. That's where the Pri Chadash is מדייק, אל יבקש ממנו יותר משלוש פעמים, that you should not ask more than three times. Again, I told you that's a subject of machloket, if should not or doesn't have to. But the point is, the Gemara is asking on Rav, why'd you go more than three times? The halacha is, Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina says, three times is enough. So what does the Gemara answer? Umeshani, now here, there is a difference of girsa in the Gemara in the Rishonim, and all it is a difference of a little yud. Listen to this. We're going to read it first, not the way the Rif, Rambam, and Rosh have it. We're going to read it the way Rashi had it. Okay? Umeshani, and the Gemara answers, Rav Shani. Rav is different. Now, Rashi explains there, what does that mean, Rav is different? Rashi says, Haya machmir al atzmo. Which means Rashi learned the Gemara, Rav is different, he was machmir on himself, he wanted to ask more. From here we see, if a person wants to be machmir, to ask more than three times, he can be machmir. Pri Chadash holds, who do you think you are? That's Rav. So he holds, no, a regular person, don't be this big tzaddik over here, that you're not up to three times is enough. Fine. The Rif Rambam Rosh, that's not the way it was written in their Gemara. In their Gemara, Vesovrim dehachi ka'amar, Rabo Shani. They learned it, not Rav Shani. Rabo Shani, your Rebbe is different.
With a Vav.
She'afilu kama pe'amim tzarech levakesh mimenu ad she'itpayes. That's how the Rif and Rambam and Rosh were learning. Rabbi Chanina haya Rabo shel Rav. Rabbi Chanina was older than Rav, although he wasn't Rabo HaMuvhak, but he wasn't his like main Rebbe, but he was a Rav of Rav. Shehayahu Yoshev Barosh Bimkom Rabbeinu HaKadosh. The Tur gives us a little piece of history here. He says, the one who took the place of Rabbeinu HaKadosh when he passed away was Rabbi Chanina. Wow. So therefore, because he was considered the Rav of Rav, that's why Rav went even till 13 times he went. Aval Rashi Piresh Rav Shani Machmir al Atzmoya. But Rashi learns differently. In other words, according to Rashi, let's say someone asks you, is there a difference between asking Chavero or Rav? You say it's a Machloket Rishonim. According to Rashi, there's no difference. Rav was Machmir on himself, fine. But halachically, it doesn't matter who it is, three times is enough. According to the Rif Rambam Rosh, no. Halachically, there's a difference. When it's Rabo, afilu elef pe'amim, even 1,000 times. No. This is Rabbi Hanina, the first generation, or like between the era of the Tanaim and Amoraim, right before the era of the Amoraim began. Rav was first generation Amoraim. Rabbi Hanina was right before him. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was in the time of the Beit Mikdash. Was, you can even say, like 200 years before this story. Yeah.
What about parents or men? What are the number that we have to ask even 1,000 times for parents? So, is it like Rabbo? That's right. Like,
so is it Rabbo Dafka? Because here in the Torah, we're not going to see that. We're not going to see that there. However, we do find that when it comes, I think the Kaf HaChaim brings down that when it comes. Here, let me try to look it up for a second here. The Kaf HaChaim does bring down. What about the parents to ask Mechila on Erev Kippur? He says it's a very big inyan to ask from your parents. The Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai brings it down also, right? And he brings the source from this that we just learned. In Ot Mem Daled, in Siman Tav Resh Vav, the Kaf HaChaim writes, he brings Kol Adam Yenashek Yedei Aviv Ve'Imo Be'Erev Yom HaKippurim Le'et Erev Kodem She'Elech Le'Bet HaKnesset Ve'Yivakesh Mehem Mechila V'Davar Zeh Hu Chiyuv Gadol Al Kol Adam U'Mi She'Eino Oseh Ken Yikra Chote U'Mzalzel B'Chod Aviv Ve'Imo. He says, on Erev Yom Kippur, you have to go to your parents to ask Mechila. Anyone who does not do that, it's like he's belittling the honor of his parents. So there is a kol sheken, there is an upgrade from chavero to parents. And then just to, he continues and he says, by the way, and if the son is a shote, meaning he's not with his mind, and therefore he doesn't go to ask Mechila, the parents should say verbally, we are Mochel, our son, so and so, so that there should not be anything on him. V'chen ha-ba'al yiten Mechila li'ishto al asher bizbeza min ha-bayit shelo kirtzono. And the husband should also forgive his wife for any overspending that was done.
He should probably forgive his children that are minors.
It sounds like he should just be mochel.
Rabbi, maybe we should be mochel our children that are minors. It's like the din of a shota, no?
So to be mechayev, it's not necessarily because they're not of age of chiyuv yet. So maybe they're not held accountable. But again, the spirit of this of these words are be mochel. You know, to be mochel. And it seems that this is specifically a halakha for Rabbo. Because otherwise we don't have a source for it. Unless you want to go be mefalpel, that we compare in many instances, because there are many halachot that we have to have to our parents, which is the same to Rabbo Muvhak. For example, not sitting in their chair, standing up when they come in. All these are halachot that are only shared with the Rav. So there are many cases where we do compare the two. I don't see that here. In the whole, you know, in the Mishnah Berurah I saw, in the Kaf HaChaim, it's not brought that by Aviv you have to go many times. Although, logically speaking, it would seem so. But I don't see a source for it yet. Now, about the obvious question, right? They like to call it the elephant in the room. Rabbi Hanina, what's going on? You know? So the Gemara does ask this question. The Beit Yosef does not... He does it shortly, but I will learn it in the Bach also. Continue with the Beit Yosef. Veda. The Bagmara Parich. You should know, the Gemara does ask, for your information, Rabbi Hanina, hechi havidachi. Rabbi Hanina, what's this 13 times you don't forgive? Veha'amarava, did Rava not say, kol ha-ma'avir al midotav, ma'avirim lo al kol pesha'av? Anyone who is forgiving, who gives in, ma'avir al midotav, means your midah is to say, no, I was too hurt. Ma'avir, you overpass that, and you forgive, Hashem will also be ma'avir al pesha, right? V'timchol asham. So Rabbi Hanina, what is it? Especially his name was Rabbi Hanina, Hanina Chen, Chen, to ask Hanina, right? What's going on here? U'meshani, you know what the Gemara says? Rabbi Hanina, chel ma'chazel lerav. It happens to be that Rabbi Hanina had a dream about Rav. What did he see in his dream about Rav? Dezekafuhu bedikla. That Rav was held up to the top of a palm tree. That was the dream. He's dreaming that they put Rav on top of a palm tree. I don't like to say hanging, I don't know if that's what it means. But they held him up at the top of a palm tree. That was the dream of Rabbi Hanina. Ugmiri and the Chachamim had a tradition. The kol dezekafuhu bedikla reisha havi. There was a masoret by the Chachamim that if you have such a dream about someone who is on the top of a palm tree, that means he's going to become a Rosh Yeshiva. He's going to have a high position. He's about to be, or he's supposed to be appointed to a very high position. Okay, so what does this have to do with anything? Amar shma mina ba'ele me'ebad rashuta. So he said when he woke up, oh, that means he's going to be appointed as the Rosh Yeshiva. Velo ifayes. Therefore, he did not want. Now, this is going to need explanation. We'll see it in the Bach. And therefore, he did not want to be appeased. He didn't want to forgive him. Ki hechi delezel veligmar oraita bebavel. So that he goes and learns Torah in Bavel. Which, by the way, before we go into the Bach, we see here that this is a very.
Destiny.
Exactly. It was a point in history. This idea of not forgiving Rav is not some small story in the Gemara hidden away. It has to do with us. Rav, as a result, went to Bavel, and the rest is history. What Rav did in Bavel has an effect for us till today. Now, still, this needs explanation. What does the Gemara mean? Because he was supposed to be Rav. So I guess simply what you hear is that, oh, that means he's going to be appointed as Rosh Shiva, but that means he's going to be appointed here. No, no, no. We need him in Bavel. So I'm going to delay the process. How is he going to delay the process? By not forgiving him. Right? So that he will say, if my Rebbe is not forgiving, I have nothing to do here. I have to leave. And he's going to go to Bavel. And that's where Rav is really going to, Rabbi Hanina knew that that's where he's really going to attain his greatness. Let's look at
that. It's a gentle question.
It seems like he wouldn't go otherwise. That's what it seems.
So did he ever get forgiveness? No. It sounds like he never did.
Let's see. Let's see what the Bach says. Okay, turn to the right column. On the side, in the middle, there's a lot. I wish we had time to go through all the Bach. The Bach is great in every word that he says. Look in the middle where it says Veda. You see the big letters Veda de Bigmara in the middle of the Bach? Okay. Veda de Bigmara Pari. So he brings the Gemara. The Gemara asks, V'Rabbi Chanina, Hechi Avidachi, Lihiot Achzari Milimchol. Why was he, you know, cruel not to forgive? Uparik. Parik means the Gemara answers. Chelma Chazale Lerav. He saw a dream about Rav. The zekafu bedikla v'chulu, as we just read. Mashma. Now, first, the Bach says it's mashma from here. De kol hecha she'amuchel eno oseken la'achzariyut. We see from this Gemara that when the one who is asked to forgive, if he's not forgiving, not because he's cruel, he's not doing it because of achzariyut. Ela leshum ta'am, he's doing it because of a certain calculation that he has, okay? That's why I told you before, a Rav, so he can have a certain calculation. You know, a regular person, okay, first time we give you the right to say no, you're too hurt, we get it. Second time also. The third time, excuse me, don't tell me you have calculations, you have, no, I have to teach him a lesson. You're not supposed to teach another person a lesson this way. Forgive him. Forgive him. But a Rav is different, okay? Kegon sheyesh lo revach bazeh. Now, the Bach is learning the Gemara, it seems, bepashtut, here, immediately, even if there is a revach. What does it mean by revach? Tell me how is the Bach learning the Gemara if he's saying, even as long as he's not doing it for achzariyut, if it's just for a certain reason that he's doing it, such as a revach, a gain? Now, he means a gain for himself. What do you mean? Oh, the revach. No, that's the revach if he does forgive. But the Bach is saying, if the reason why he's not forgiving is because, not because he's achzari, but because he's gaining from not forgiving, there's a certain gain, then it's okay. That means, how is he learning that Gemara?
Like to replace him?
That he didn't want to be replaced. See, that's why he wanted to send him, ship him off to Bavin. Very interesting. It's very. Now, again, we're talking about Rabbi Hanina, and therefore we could say it, and I'll tell you why. It's not because he wanted kavod. Many times you see, now this is not easy to understand. What? You could say either he thought he's more qualified, or he didn't want to lose the zechut of being marbitz Torah, of giving Torah. You do find in history that two great people would go to a din Torah about who becomes a rabbi of a certain place. Each one fighting for himself to become a rabbi. Now that's not always easily understood by the people. People look at it like they're fighting for kavod. It could very well be that that is the case. When it comes to Amoraim, we surely know that that's not the case. It's all Kedusha, it's all Lashem Shamayim. You had big Rabbanim in our history that fought for the right to be a Avedin. Because they knew that this is for my, not because of Kavod, this is how I'm going to become great in Torah. I want to become great in Torah. Or to add what you're saying, which was?
Rabban Gamliel from the Haggadah. Him and the Ben Azariah. Who was going to be the
Not in the Haggadah. Oh, you mean the story in Masechet Brachot?
Right, yeah.
Right. The story of Masechet Brachot of who's going to be the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, right? Rabban Gamliel was giving up his kavod so easily. Remember what Rabban Gamliel said in the Gemara there? Lo lichvod atzmi, not from the kavod of myself, but lichvod bet Abba, of where I come from. Again, these are words that ring sometimes a little bit empty in our ears because yeah, right, that's what we say because we're judging them in accordance with our eyeglasses. We're looking at, if it was me, I would be after kavod. Maybe we're not going to admit that, but that's where we're holding, or maybe I shouldn't say we, but normally that's how it goes. We have to understand that these were tremendous people. It wasn't for their own kavod, you know? It was for the kavod of the Torah. However, that's, yes.
But according to that dream that he had, he should know, or the Rebbeinu should know that it's time to step down.
Who said it's time to step down? All it says is that he's going to be appointed. When? It doesn't say. So he could delay it. Maybe he's even giving him a longer life by doing this.
I see a different rabbi. Yes. Him saying no, he's building him up. Because he's going to go deeper inside himself to bring
so
out
So the
more.
Bach is going to say something similar. That's what I wanted to come to. Biasher, what were you saying?
Different place. The dream doesn't say
where. It doesn't say where. Right. Also doesn't say where. Look what the Bach continues and says. Now, however, so far, what did the Bach say? That as long as it's not be'achzariyut, even if you're doing it for a revach, for a gain, it's okay. But he says, if you look in the Hagaot Shulchan Aruch, who's the Hagaot Shulchan Aruch? That's the Rama. The Rama does not write like that. He says, she'yachol shelo imchol, kesh'mechaven letovat ha'mevakesh mechila. The Rama writes differently. The Rama says, when is it okay if you're not forgiving? When you have in mind the benefit of the one who you are. Not revach for yourself like the Bach was learning. Benefit. Oh, so that means the Rama is learning the Gemara in a different way. It wasn't that he was worried for his position. There was a cheshbon here for the tova of Rav himself. And this is what the Bach is going to explain. It seems that the Rama is explaining that story in the Gemara Yomar. The Kamar Hatam Rabbi Chanina Amar Shma Mina Ba'ele Me'bad Rashuta. This that Rabbi Chanina said when he woke up from the dream. And he said he wants to, he's going to be having a position. Pirush, meaning, Ve'yatilu alav tzorche tzibur. What? Rav is still young. He's going to now become the Rav, and now all the tzorche tzibur is going to be on him, and that's going to impede his growth. That means he's going to stop to a certain degree growing. It touches upon a little bit what we spoke about on Shabbat, if you remember. Right? And Rabbi Chanina didn't want that. He saw Rav, a rising star, that no, he still needs to develop more for Klal Yisrael. He's going to be a Rav. That means, okay, he's going to stop right here, you know. At least so Rabbi Chanina thought. Velo yifayis. So therefore, he didn't allow himself to forgive. This was only a cheshbon to make sure to it. Ki echi delezil veligmar oraita bebavel. So that he should go to Bavel. Velo yitbatel midivre Torah. And you should not be mitbatel from learning. Delefi pirush ze, according to this pirush, asa ken Rabbi Chanina le tovato shel Rav. He was doing it solely for the tova of Rav. Umashma aval le tovat amochel atzmo eno yachol asot ken. The Bach says from the Rama, it's mashma. If you're doing it for your own tova, even though you're not achzari, but you're doing it for your own tova, no good. Ve'eni yodea echan matza pirush ze. However, the Bach says, he argues with the Rama, says, I don't know why the Rama is learning the Gemara like this. Ki Rashi piresh behefech. He says, because from Rashi, it seems, Rashi learned that it was just his own personal game, that I don't want to step down yet. So therefore, I think he should go to Bavel. And how do we get him to Bavel? He's not going to leave to go to Bavel. I'm not going to be Mefayez. Now, at the end, was he Mefayez or not? I like to believe that when it says in the Gemara that he went to him for 13 Kippurs, it means that by the 14th, you know, he gave him, he was Mefayez. I know it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like by the 13th he just went to Bavel. But there was a holy calculation behind Rabbi Chanina. Never forget that the name of the Amora that we're talking about here is Rabbi Chanina. Chanina, Chanina. Mitratze berachamim umitpayez betachanunim. So it wasn't that he wasn't mitpayez. It was mitpayez. But he felt, according to the Ramaz Pirush, it was letovato. Or he wanted to be Marbitz Torah. And therefore, and it's allowed halachically like that. Again, who? Only by the Rav. Only a tzaddik can make this cheshbon. Not everyone can say to himself, you know what? It's for his benefit, it's for my benefit. No. It's for your benefit to forgive. That's what it's for your benefit. Absolutely.
It's amazing. Yes, Simcha. 13 times considering the 13 attributes, the 13
mido. I was thinking Ahava. Yeah,
you have to have some compassion on us, please. Before you shoot such a... That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
It's getting in the notebook tonight.
You old... It's very nice. 13. There's nothing that is insignificant. And that has the significance here. Yeah, Midat HaRachim. It was all for Rachamim. There was something else I wanted to say. Beautiful, beautiful.
I was thinking Ahava, Rabbi.
And Ahava is Gematria 13. Yefe meod.
Rabbi, why did you have to wait 1 year? For the 13th
plan? Why didn't he go? Now I remember what Raman said. Okay. What? Why did he have to wait? Why didn't he come?
Okay.
I that's a good question. And
what is Halachalam Asa? I think because
you don't have to. Probably out of kavod for Rabbi Chanina. Rav, you know, not to be too pushy, not to be too pressing. Okay, my Rebbe says he doesn't want to forgive. Okay, maybe I should come back next year. You know, like a certain standing back kavod. Probably. What I wanted to point out is also, you can never get enough of the honesty of the Gemara. Did you have to record this story? This is only going to raise eyebrows. You know, No. The Gemara doesn't hide anything. You take these Gemarot and put them in your pocket for all those times when you're learning Gemara and you're saying, is there something here that we're not hearing? Oh yeah? If there was, they would tell you. They don't hide anything. It's so authentic. Let's put it that way. Any other, you know, what are they? These are our heroes, Rabbi Chanina, almost on every page in the Talmud. Do I have to have this little, you know, now, that's the one. No, I don't have to. And yet they don't know. Chazal expect a little bit better from us. We're going to tell you the story, and you're going to learn it correctly, and you're not going to have any ideas in your mind about Rabbi Chanina. That's powerful, very powerful. We have a little bit more time to continue. Is it okay if we go till 9 o'clock all the time? Is that okay with you? Okay. Is that all right? So let's do halacha bet now in the... There's a lot of good stuff here in the... Okay, let's at least do the two. Back in the two, on page Taf. Ve'im met, the second line, ve'im met, if the person who you're going to ask forgiveness from already passed away, now what? Mevi asara bnei adam. We all know this halacha. You bring 10 people, umaamidam al kivro, have them stand right by the burial site. Veomer chatati lelokei Israel veliploni ze shepashati lo. Look at the nusach. You have to say in front of the 10 people, I have sinned to Elokei Israel and to this person who is buried here. That's how you have to say it. Not just, I have sinned to this person. That would be enough, right? Nice? No. Sinned to Elokei Israel. By the way, it doesn't say Chatati Lelokim. It doesn't even just say Chatati Lashem. It says Chatati Lelokei Israel. And you understand why. Because why was I Chotet to Hashem when I hurt him? Because he's his Elokim. He's his people. How do you hurt Hashem's people? So that's an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. So Chatati, that's the emphasis here. Lelokei Israel ve, and to this person who is buried here. Liploni zeh shepashati. As we explained before, that after you ask forgiveness from the person, then now you're ready on Yom Kippur to do vidui and say, you know, ganafti, gazalti. Don't say gazalti when the money is still in your house. Hashem, the gazela is in your house, you're saying gazalti. But after you return the money, now you have to come to Hashem in the Beit HaKnesset and you have to say, gazalti, I'm so sorry for what I did, because it's also an affront to you. So when the person is alive, you could do it at two separate times. But when you're coming to the burial place, it has to be in a way that in front of Hashem also, chatati lelokei Israel ve'leze shepashati lo. Ve'osim ken. Now, these words, ve'osim ken, is going back not only on this specific halakha we just learned, it's going back on everything we just learned. Ve'osim, the Bet Yosef explains that. Ve'osim ken, kedei sheyehelev kol Yisrael shalem kol echad im chaverot. The reason why we do this, to ask forgiveness on Erev Kippur, and the whole thing that you go out of your way, is so that the heart of all Yisrael should be perfect one with another. Why is that so important? Ve'lo yehe makom, next page, la satan lekatreg alehem. So that we don't give any crack, any room for the Satan to say, ah, Hashem, look. It seems from these words of the two that the bin adam l'chavero issues are those issues that the Satan likes to latch onto. He likes to use as an excuse. Yeah, he's very pious. He's coming to you with his, you know, all these chumrot. But look what he said to that person, and he didn't even bother going to make amends with him. In order not to leave any makom that the Satan to be mikatreg, and he brings a midrash. And so it states in the midrash of Pirkei Rabbi Elezer, that's Rabbi Elezer HaGadol. And here he says, what does the midrash say? Ro'e Samael shelo nimtza chet b'Yisrael b'yom ha-kippurim. The Satan on Yom Kippur, he sees, oh my goodness, there's no sin here. There's no room for me. Ve'omer ribon ha'olam. Look at this, look at these words. Kiss them. Ribon ha'olam, master of the universe. Yesh lecha am echad ba'aretz kemalachei asharet.
Wow.
You have a nation on the earth. Listen, they're angelic. On Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the Satan looks down and he's looking. Where can I? He says, what is this? These are perfect people. And he turns to Hashem and he says, Hashem, you have a people down there. They're like malachei asharet. And now he explains, what's the comparison? You'll ask to malachei asharet. Ma malachei asharet yechefe regel. Af Yisrael yechefe regel b'yom ha-kippurim. All right, that's an easy one. Just like malachei asharet are barefoot, they don't wear shoes. Angels don't wear shoes. Am Yisrael are not wearing shoes on Yom Kippur. Here it goes, from these words of the Midrash, by the way, you know, goes our minhag is that we don't wear leather shoes. That's the halakha. Halakha is no leather shoes. But let's say you want to wear shoes that are not leather. It's okay. It's fine. The Bach, by the way, famous chumrah of the Bach, not supposed to do that either. So you're supposed to wear slippers or nothing at all. Just socks. That's the Bach. And some bring proof to the Bach from here. If we're comparing to Malachi Asharet, Malachi Asharet don't wear sneakers either. And they don't wear comfortable canvas shoes either. Right? But we don't learn halachot from a midrash. And therefore, the halakha is that it is min'al shel or. And we're going to get into that in a moment.
Would the Bach say then, on a regular day, you don't need to wear shoes?
No, this is talking about Yom Kippur. This is only on Yom Kippur. Yeah. We have to wear shoes. You know, a person has to wear shoes. And there's Yeah, we'll talk about this more also. Another reason why we don't wear shoes, a beautiful reason for tomorrow, but from the Agra de Pirka, we'll see a reason why we don't wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Another comparison, Ma malachei asharet en lahem kfitza, af Yisrael en lahem kfitza. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I read this sentence, I wasn't sure what it meant. Just like malachei asharet do not have kfitza, so too Am Yisrael on Yom Kippurim do not have kfitza. What is this kfitza? In Hebrew, kfitza means jumping. Just like the malachei asharet don't have a jumper, we don't have a jumper. What's that? What? I thought to myself that maybe the word kfitza is similar to the word kpeda. Because when to say anger in Hebrew, one of the words for anger is ketzef. Ketzef, by ktsof Moshe, right? It says in the Torah. Ketzef means to get angry. So kfitza, which could be keves, kesef, style, ktsifa, kfitza, so kpeda. Just like malachei asharet don't have kpeda one on another, so too Jews don't have a kpeda one on another. But then I looked in the prisha on the bottom. On the bottom you have the prisha, and in the prisha he explains, the prisha is not on this page. Where's the prisha? I'm sorry. The drisha, not the prisha, the drisha. The drisha on the bottom, he says, he explains like this, that just like the malachei asharet don't have kfitzot, it means they stay in one place. They are in reverence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they stay in one place. So too the Jewish people on Yom Kippur, they're not running here and there, running to this business, to that, store. They're all staying in one place. That's what it means, en laim kfitza. They stay in one place to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Drisha explains. En laim kfitzot, remez lihitpashtut hagashmiyut, she'enam meshotetim ana ve'ana lelech achar tzorchem, ela omdim muchanim umzumanim la'asod ratzon konav, kemo malachim ha'omdim tamid al mishmartam, like the malachim that are always standing guard and they don't move from their post. That's how. And now what's the third, go back to the tour now, what's the third comparison that the Satan says about the Jewish people? Ma malachei asharet nekiim mikol chet, kach Yisrael nekiim mikol chet, on Yom Kippur. Just like the malachim are clear from any chet, Am Yisrael is clean from any chet on Yom Kippur. Ki bayom hazeh chaper alechem. And then the fourth one, which is the reason why the tour brought this midrash, Ma malachei asharet shalom benehem, kach Yisrael biyom ha-kippurim. Just like Malachei Asharet, you know, we read every morning. We don't know this maybe. Every morning we say, Notnim reshut ze laze, leagdish leyotzram, benachat ruach, ubisafa berura. You know, there are levels of malachim. So you could always have, you know, one level of malachim say, what are you? You're also joining the song? You don't know anyway. No, notnim reshut ze laze. They give permission to each other. What does that mean, notnim reshut? They ask each other, is it okay if I say praise, and each one asks each other. The Malachei Asharet is, there is achdut to the Borei Olam. On Yom Kippur, at least on the day of Yom Kippur, the Jewish people are meuchadim, says the Satan. And who's listening? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomea edutan mina mekatregim umechaper alem. That's the best testimony. Hashem listens to the testimony of the mekatregim, of the prosecutors. The Satan, his job is not to say this stuff. His job is to be mekatreg. But you know what? He finds himself cornered on the day of Yom Kippur. He says, I can't. Hashem, you did well today. I have nothing. I have nothing today. How do you say it? No objection, Your Honor. No objection. That's a beautiful midrash. Beautiful midrash. That's why it's important. Rabotai, the Kaf HaChaim brings down, the Ben Ish Chai writes that the rabbi or the gabai, right before, you know, on the night of Yom Kippurim, right after Kol Nidre, I think it is, before the Shechianu, to get up and to tell and to remind the people, Timchalu Ze Lazeh. It's found in the Machzorim. Timchalu Ze Lazeh, just in case maybe one person forgot to or thought he'd no, I didn't do anything. You know, there's no reason. No. Timchalu Ze Lazeh. Do that formality even. Just do it. So that we enter into the Kiddusha of Yom Kippurim, of Shechiyanu V'Kiyemanu, totally one with another.
I'm assuming that's what in Kiddushma,
Echiz V'Iknitotit. Very good. anyone who angered me and hurt me, I'm forgiving. I'm forgiving. It's very important. Very, and the Kafa Chaim also, well, that is every day by Kriyat Shema Lamita. Very good. You know where that comes from? It comes from the Gemara in Ta'anit. The Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah. Sha'alu Talmidav, the Talmidim of one of the great Amoraim, they asked him, Bameh Erachta Yamim? How is it, with what zechut did you live so long? So first of all, he answered them, Katztem Bechayai? It says there, what, am I around for too long for your liking that you're asking? He said, No, Rabbeinu, but we want to learn, how does a person achieve long life? And he gave them a whole series, like a whole a group of things that he did, that he was makpid on. One of the things was, Me'olam, I never went up to my bed to sleep at night having anything in my heart against another Jew. And from there is the makor of saying the Ribono Shel Olam in Kriyat Shema Lamita. Specifically on Yom HaKippurim, you look in the Kaf HaChaim and others, they bring a certain tefillah to be said on Erev Kippur. Each one should say a tefillah, Ribono Shel Olam, please forgive so and so. Let's say someone did not ask him for you. Please forgive so and so. I am totally mochel and soleach, and so that no one. Why is this very important? First of all, that's avodat amidot. Avodat amidot is to be forgiving, is to be mevater. Yeah, tafresh vav, to be mevater. Number two, it's also midah keneged midah, like you mentioned before, that if a person is ma'avir al midotav, ma'avirim lo al kol pesha'ah. And the Rabbeinu Yonah in Sha'arei Tshuva calls that a petach tikva me'ule ad me'od. He says that's an opening of hope that every Jew could have for slicha v'chapara. Because many times a person thinks to himself, I did too much, maybe Hashem is not going to forgive, who knows what. Rabbeinu Yonah says, first of all, don't believe that. Hashem is Rahman, male rachamim. Hashem is compassionate, do what you can. But he says, there's something you can hold on to, and that is forgive. Forgive, be forgiving, even though it hurts. It hurts, sometimes it hurts. And it's very hard, very hard. Forgive. Hashem looks into the heart. Hashem doesn't miss it. He sees it. He looks into the heart and says, what did you just do? You just forgave even though it's so hard? You know, it's hard to forgive you too, but I'm gonna forgive you also. It's very important, very powerful. That's why I wanted to do this, to make sure we get this in before Yom Kippur. Although there are others, you know, simanim that we should also be doing here. And just to, we have 2 minutes to, I'm just going to rush through the two so that we do a Davar Shalem over here. V'nahagu litbol be'erev Yom HaKippurim. Now you could talk about tevilah, you know, going to the mikveh. See, but in the tools world, first you take care of this. And then you go to the mikveh. V'nahagu litbol be'erev Yom HaKippurim. V'amar Rav Amram, Rav Amram is from the Geonim, yeah? Tovel adam b'sha'a shvi'it u'mitpalel mincha. The time for tevilah is right after chatzot, in the seventh hour of the day, right? Before mincha gedola. That's Rav Amram Gaon, and b'emet that's lehalacha. Ve'amar Rav Seadia, and Rav Seadia Gaon writes, be'aliyato militbol mevarech ala tevilah. According to Rabbeinu Seadia Gaon, you have to say a bracha, asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu ala tevilah. Do we do that? No. V'katav Adoni Avi Arosh, my father, my master, the Rosh writes, ve'en devarav nir'im bazeh. That we do not go like the words of Rabbeinu Saadiyah in this, shelo matzinu batalmud remez litvila zo, ve'en alo yesod nevi'im ve'lo minhag nevi'im. Ve'lo adifa me'arava, de'amrin al chavet chavet ve'la barich, mishum she'ena ela minhag nevi'im. The Rosh says, we'll all do kavod to Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon, of course, he was much before the Rosh, he was in the time of the Geonim. But we don't go like this, and most Rishonim agree with the Rosh on this. Why? Because the Gemara does not say anywhere that we have an obligation to go to the Mikveh on Erev Yom HaKippurim. No. It's a minhag that developed in Am Yisrael already from the days of the Geonim, as you can see. Ad kedekach del Rabbeinu Saadia says to make a bracha. But it doesn't say so in the Talmud as an obligation. Therefore, something that's not an obligation, we cannot say a bracha. Remember Chivut Arava, the taking of the Aravim? What do we say before? Chavet, Chavet ve'la barich. Why is it that we're la barich? Why we don't say bracha on the mitzvah of banging the Aravot on the floor? Why? Of hitting the Aravot on the floor? Yeah. Why we don't say? Because it's only minhag nevi'im. Minhag nevi'im goes back not to Geonim, to the nevi'im. But it's only minhag. It's not a chiyuv. It's only a custom, not an obligation. That's why we don't say bracha. So therefore, Kol Sheken, the Tevilah Yom HaKippurim, which the Gemara does not mention, Chibut Arava, the Gemara mentions, but this does not mention, so therefore we don't say a bracha on it. Ve'im Mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, the Rosh tries to say, maybe he'll tell me Rav Saadia Gaon's reason is, Mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak, because of the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak in the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Tetzayin, who said, Chayav Adam Letaher Atzmo Baregel. There's a chiyuv for every person to purify himself in the mikveh before the regel. Hainu, that's not a proof. Hainu letayer atzmo mikol atumot. That's Rabbi Yitzchak is talking in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, where we were able to be metaher ourselves from all the tumot, af mitumat amet, even from the tumah of met, uleazot alav shlishi ushvi'i, and to take and have the sprinkling of the ashes of the parah aduma on the third and seventh day. Regel means before Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuot. However, the Rosh is saying maybe Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon is learning from there. Also Yom Kippur, he says even if we learn that it means Yom Kippur, beseder. But the Chayav Letaher is from all the Tumot. That's only possible in the time of Beit Hamikdash. Ha'idana, what's Ha'idana? Nowadays, Bizman Hazeh. Ha'idana means Bizman Hazeh. En anu tahara, we don't have complete tahara. וכיוון שאין בעלי קריין תובלין כל השנה, אין חובה לתבילה זו ואין לברך. Even בעלי קרי are not obligated to go to the mikveh. Yes, it's a very big inyan of kedusha. And definitely על פי חסידות and going to the mikveh every day. No doubt about it. But everyone will tell you, it's not a halakha. It's a clear sugya in Masechet Brachot where a person is allowed to learn Torah and to pray. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera is the one that we go by, who holds like this, and that's the halakha. If a person doesn't go to the mikveh, even though he's a Baal Keri, he's still allowed to pray, he's still allowed to learn Torah, and he doesn't have to go to the mikveh. Although a person should, but it's all just, you know, a minhag. Therefore, Ela shen nahagu ha'olam letaher atzma mikeri biyom ha'kippurim. Nahagu ha'olam. It's a minhag on Yom Kippur. V'samchu al midrash el pike Rabbi Elazar shenekiyim kemalachei asher biyom ha'kippurim. And a little bit of a source for it is that midrash that we just saw before. One of the comparisons that the Satan made was just like malachei asheret are nekiyim, so too Am Yisrael is naki on Yom Kippur. So from here we hear, okay, fine. Maybe it's a good idea to go to the mikveh on Erev Kippur. But from that to say that it's an obligation upon which we say a bracha, no, we don't go like that. But Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon did say that. So that shows you how important it is to go to the mikveh at least on Erev Kippur. Really, you know, a person should go at least every Friday, every Erev Shabbat. Those who are noheg every day is even a bigger ma'ala of Kedusha. But at least on Erev Kippur, that's not a day to miss going to the mikveh unless a person has a reason why he can't go to the mikveh. For whatever reason, we'll leave it at that. Then there's also the etzah of tish'a kabin, of the 9 kabin measures of water that one can take. In other words, if you stand under the shower, straight under the shower, of a good force of shower, for like 5 minutes straight without moving, that's already tish'a kabin. But that's only b'di'avad. That's only b'di'avad in a case of sha'ata dachak. There's also, by the way, the tvilah, that, you know, of Netilat Yadayim 40 Pam, the 40 times, which is as significant as going to the mikveh in a certain way.
Which one is better?
The Tish'a Kabin, because that's mentioned in the Gemara. The Tish'a Kabin is mentioned in the Gemara. The 40 Netilot is something that's mentioned in the Kidve Ari HaKadosh, 40 Netilot Yadayim, but the Tish'a Kabin is mentioned in the Gemara.
Never heard of 40 Netilot.
Yeah. We'll talk about it at a different time, but to do 40 times, 40 times with a certain Kabbalah.
40 each side or 20 and 20?
So, no, 40 in each time, you know.
Oh, can I get 40 se'ah?
Can I get the 40 se'ah? Very good, very good. See that? You never heard of it and already you're saying chidushim.
Just trying to figure out where it's like moral.
So, yes. Okay, so we'll stop here. You know this, what he says here.
Rabbi, I didn't catch before he said, Sean Benam,